Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love that we so don't deserve. But you've called us into your presence through the innocent suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're in your presence. Father, we're in your presence now. Let your light shine into us so that we might reflect it. As the moon reflects the sun and gives light to the night, so might we be just that light in this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, some of you weren't here last week. Some of you were. Some of you were here last week and don't remember what we talked about last week. So I'm going to remind all of you what was going on. Last week, Jesus has the Sermon on the Plain in Luke chapter 6. Matthew has Sermon on the Mount, but Jesus comes down to where the people are, speaking to the people on the level, so to speak, and he says some things to him that are astounding to us. He says to them, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger. And then he turns around and says, but woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full now. Woe to you who laugh now. And it's like, what? What is going on? It's hard to hear. Well, we spent 20 minutes talking about what that really meant and how that shook out. You can watch it online if you're interested in seeing how that was described. But we're not going to go over that. We're going to move forward because Jesus looks at these people that he's been talking to, and he begins with the words, but to you who are listening, the Greek word is akouo, which means a continuing act, still listening. But if I haven't lost you yet, if you can take any more of this reversal of kingdom living about what the world thinks is right and what God sees is right, then continue to listen. I got more to say to you, and boy, does he ever. He dumps on us. He rattles off a series of situations and solutions that if you didn't know that Jesus was talking, you might have thought it was pulled out of some excerpt of his sermon on how to be a doormat. Because doesn't that what it sounds like? I mean, listen to some of the things he says. First of all, he says, love your enemies. So how do we do that? Here's how you do it. Do good to those who hate you. Yeah, right. You know, when I come to this part in the Bible classes that I teach in the mornings, I often tell the people that are there, can we just skip this part? And they never let me. We have to go through it. And so God's putting us through it right now. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks. And anyone who takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do unto you. Time after time, Jesus is listing these things that are totally contrary to the world. I saw a t-shirt one time. It was a beautiful shirt. I wish I could have found out where he got it, but it was a fish. You know the Christian symbol of a fish? It used to be something that they would do in the Roman days. If you were a Christian, you'd make this swipe in the dirt, and if you were a Christian, you'd complete that swipe with another one. The Greek word for fish is ichthus, and it's also an acronym for Jesu Christus Theos Weos Soter, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. That's where we get this idea of a fish. You remember the question, how can you tell someone's a Christian? Well, if they have a fish on their bumper, right? Well, this guy had a fish on his t-shirt. He was swimming in this direction. And on this side, there was a whole school of other fish, many of them very, very vicious looking, swimming in the opposite direction. And I thought, yeah, that about sums up our Christian walk, amen? Because we're not supposed to swim with the tide. Because our destination isn't where the world is going. Can I get a hallelujah? God has called us to a higher destination. What God is calling us to is to the kingdom. And you cannot get to the kingdom if you swim in the same direction as this fallen world and sinners. God is calling us to be something different. Something that stands out. Something that this world says, that's just wrong. Well, you know what? This wrong that we do in our Christian living is what makes the world right. Because all these things that Jesus lists that we should do point to the one most important thing of all, and that's God's mercy for us. We have received mercy. How can I receive so much mercy and yet not be merciful? That's what God's calling us to do. One of the big problems so many people have with the church today is the church seems to be indistinguishable from the rest of the world because we are pursuing the same things that others are pursuing. Jesus says, stop it. Stop. This is how I want you to be. You don't have to have any special talents to be a Christian. All of these are moments of grace. They don't occupy all of your time, but they're moments of grace. If someone slaps you on the cheek, now notice, Jesus, they had swords and they had knives in Jesus' day. He could have said if someone takes a sword and runs you through or a spear and sticks it into your back. He didn't say that kind of thing. He says if someone slaps your cheek. To me, a slap on the cheek is more threatening to my ego than it is to my body. Amen. Probably most of us aren't going to be getting slapped around in the world anytime, but I bet every single one of us gets our egos knocked around a bit, right? And I think that's what Jesus is talking about. If someone insults your ego, don't try to come back at them. You know, sometimes people will say, well, if you get into that kind of situation, just walk away. That's not even enough for Jesus. That's not a bad advice if you're going to tell your kids, hey, if someone starts picking on you, just walk away. That's good advice for them because they don't need to be in that relationship. But God is calling us to be in relationship with a sinful world so that we can make a difference, so that we can bring his mercy and his grace into a personification of ourselves in the way that we treat them. It's something that's wholly foreign to ourselves, but yet God gives it to us so that we might share it with others. He's calling on us to be merciful just as he is merciful. So don't just walk away. Offer them another shot. Go ahead. You like that? Take this shot. And then they have to look at you and go, whoa, what's this guy all about? What the heck is going on here with this? Well, it's because I love the Lord. And I want you to know him too. I want you to know that he gives mercy. And I want to give mercy. It's so lacking in this world. And then Jesus goes on to talk about the golden rule. We've all heard the golden rule, right? I've heard a lot of misdescriptions of it. I've heard people say the golden rule is do unto others before they do unto you. Is that what Jesus is saying? No. How about this one? Do unto others as they do unto you. Is that what Jesus is saying? No. He says do unto others as you wish they would do unto you. So if you want to be treated in a certain way, treat other people that way. It doesn't matter how they treat you. It matters how we treat them. Because think about how God came into this world. Jesus died while we were still sinners, amen? He didn't wait until we were cleaned up. He came into this world as the sinless Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And wicked men grabbed him and beat him and crucified him. But God raised him from the dead. See, God used that wrong to make us right. Are you following me here? So the world might think that all of these things are upside down. All of these things are wrong. But when we share moments of grace into the world, it can have a profound impact on people. Let me give you an example from my favorite book of all time, written by Victor Hugo. It's called Les Misérables. It's a story about a guy named Jean Valjean. And he was trying it back in France when people were even sketchier than they are now. And he got caught stealing a loaf of bread to try to feed his sister's children. And he's thrown into prison, and he's in hard labor for 20 years. And when they finally let him out, he's got this yellow card that he's got to take wherever he goes that marks him as a convict. He's got no rights. People despise him. He can't do hardly anything. Well, the world is treating him just like that. But he finds his way into this abbot, this Catholic priest is living. And the Catholic priest feeds him a meal, invites him to stay the night. Well, Jean Valjean, being the guy that he has become now, decides, look at all this silver. I could probably get a few bucks for this. So he grabs the silver, puts it in a bag, and splits in the middle of the night. Well, he doesn't get very far until the constables, the cops, Javert, who was the guy that was always on his case, catches him, brings him back to the priest. And now here's the moment of grace. Stick with me on this. Here's the moment of grace. They bring Jean Valjean, caught red-handed in thievery, and they bring him to the priest, and the priest goes, I'm so glad you came back. You forgot these candlesticks. I want you to have them too. And this little act of mercy changed his life. 180 degrees, he changed his name. He became the mayor of this town. He was the benefactor of many people. He became wealthy and helped so many people. This is the kind of impact that you can have on people too. It might sound ridiculous, and the world wants you to think that way, because there's no more important time than right now that we put these principles into effect. When Jesus says, let me turn the page. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? The Greek word for credit is a compound word of charis, which means grace. What kind of grace is that? It's not so much about credit. It's about if I give you something, I expect something back. Is that grace? What's the definition of grace? Getting what we don't deserve, right? So what kind of grace is that to you? What kind of grace does God give us? He gives us forgiveness of sins without expecting anything back. That's the kind of grace that God is calling us to have too. And we live in a society today that's nothing like that. Today's society says, if you've ever done something in your life that we don't approve of, we're going to cancel you. You're out. You're out the door. We've got this cancel culture. So there's some TV broadcaster, sports broadcaster that 20 years ago when he was a teenager said something that had some kind of racial slur to it, and it comes out and he's canceled. He's forgotten. He's thrown out. There's no mercy. There's no grace. In fact, in the cancel culture, the cure is the death of the person. Their streets are filled with people who used to be something but no longer are. That's so counter to Christian. There's no grace. There's no mercy. There's no reconciliation. There's no forgiveness. It's that you don't match the way I think you should be. You're out of there. It's just plain wrong. But God, and why? And I thought a lot about this. How come people are that way? How can people be so locked into a specific way of thinking that if you don't think exactly like them, you're not important? Which could describe some Christians sometimes too, amen? Not to our credit either. But I think it's because every single one of us have a God-shaped hole in us. We're created to be in relationship with God. But many times we drift away and we don't have that relationship with God anymore. And so there's this hole inside that craves to be filled. So we want to fill it with something that we think will bring us purpose. And I think that their purpose is they've been self-proclaimed judges. They're going to decide who gets to be relevant and who is not relevant. That's their purpose. But it's not satisfying. It can't satisfy because it's not what God wants us to be. So they continue to get worse and more angry and more verbose, and it keeps going on and on and on. But God says, just relax. I've got this covered. I'll judge this. You just love your neighbors. Because whether we do or not, God continues to be merciful. God continues to to be forgiving. So in this cancel culture world, we're called to be like that fish on that shirt. Even though we're swimming against some pretty rough-looking characters, our destination is not their destination. Our destination is the kingdom of God. And you can't get to the kingdom of God by being a part of the cancel culture. We have been forgiven so that we might be forgiving. We have received mercy so that we might show mercy. We have been given grace so that we might show grace. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.